Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and it's just the two of us again.
Man.
Not getting any easier.
This is just, it's getting old.
It is, man. We need Jerry back. Where are you, Jerry? Where'd you go?
I know. Selfish Jerry wants to be at home with her baby.
Yeah. We all went to shopping at Kmart, and she wandered off, and we haven't seen her since.
We all want to be at home with Jerry's baby.
Sure. It's a cute baby.
But we can't be. You know the old joke that Jerry could be replaced with one of those dipping birds just to hit record?
Yeah.
We were just kidding.
That's happening. It's true. It is true. Maybe not the post-production stuff, but definitely the recording thing. Clearly takes a finger to say, okay, you guys are rolling.
Man, yep.
We cannot stop griping about this, huh?
I know. It's just weird, you know? When a threesome becomes a twosome, things get awkward.
Yeah. A triad becomes a dyad.
Or when a twosome becomes a threesome, that gets super awkward.
Or, I mean, really, anytime you're moving people in and out of some sort of dynamic,
sure,
it can be weird.
That's right.
The transition can be rough, I think that's what you'd put on the t-shirt ultimately.
Yeah.
Right?
The transition is rough.
Anytime you're moving people in and out of a dynamic. Ready?
Yes.
Didn't we say that already?
Yeah, we're recording.
Chuck, I have something for you. Ready?
Right.
I am not much of a gossip. At all. I just don't do it.
Yeah, good.
But do you know who does? Jerry. A lot. And she's really vicious. I know she's not here right now.
Yeah.
But just between the two of us, uh-huh. I don't gossip. Jerry does. And you should really watch out for her.
I heard that she gossips. I'm not saying that, but I just heard that.
I gotcha. Well, I've seen her do it. She's gossiped to me because she finds me very important and likes to confide in me, but it's just so vicious.
So we just gossiped.
We did.
That was play acting.
The ironic thing was that I was gossiping about how I don't gossip.
Yeah.
That came through, huh?
Everybody gossips.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, apparently people gossip way more than they realize. But I think you're right. I think gossip is a normal thing. It has such a bad connotation, though, that people say, like, I don't gossip. I'm not a gossip.
But liars.
Technically, not necessarily even liars. I think it also, as far as like linguists and psychologists are concerned, it comes from a misunderstanding of what constitutes gossip.
That's right.
Like at its basic, bare-bottomed element, gossip is simply two, or it can be more, but a couple of people speaking about a third person's business while the third person isn't there. There's another person who's being talked about who isn't there. It doesn't necessarily mean you're talking about how they're just
what a lousy parent they are.
Sure. Spending baby shoe money on gambling rather than gambling in order to get more shoes.
Yeah.
That's bad parenting right there. There's all sorts of stuff you can say. But you could also say, actually, that guy is a great dude. He spends all of his money on nothing but baby shoes.
That's gossip.
It is gossip, and it's not necessarily harmful. It's in this case, you're helping someone else's social status in the other people's eyes. That's still gossip.
Yeah, I think Tracy of Stuff You Missed in History Class wrote this one.
That is true.
She's always thorough, and she included in here something I thought was pretty pertinent: gossip v. rumor.
Yeah.
And there are differences in, well, I say there's differences, but if you ask professionals who study this, and there are weirdos who do that, they will say sometimes, no, it's the same thing, or a rumor is just a type of gossip.
Right.
Here's some other distinguishing factors. Gossip is based in fact. Rumors are based in hypotheses.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
That makes sense to me because it kind of ties in with the last one.
Yeah. Gossip is a tool for maintaining social order, which we're going to talk about at length.
Sure.
Rumor is a tool for explaining things that people do not understand. I'm not sure I get that one.
Like there's garbage raining from the sky. It's the government. That's a rumor.
Okay.
Whereas if you're like, Charles is up on the roof again, dumping his garbage out on the street.
That's gossip.
Technically so, yeah. Or that's just laying it out there, you know?
Yeah, true. And then finally, gossip relates something people believe has happened, but rumor expresses something people hope or fear will happen.
So I have my own hypothesis of the distinction between rumor and gossip.
Let's hear it.
Rumor is uncurated gossip. Rumor is any dude walking down the street, you can be like, there's garbage falling from the sky and it's the government. There's no bond that's formed there. There's no requirement of a bond.
Yeah.
Whereas gossip requires some sort of connection or you're forming a connection from the gossip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rumor is just for anybody. Gossip is between confidants to an extent.
Yeah, and Tracy points that out too, and that is why supposedly celebrity gossip doesn't qualify as gossip because it's a third party that doesn't know the others in general.
Sure.
Unless it's, you know, Jennifer Aniston is talking smack about Brad
Courtney
and Angelina.
Cox.
No, she would never do that.
Oh, really?
No, she loves Courtney Cox.
They're still friends, huh?
Sure.
Why doesn't she ever have her on Cougar Town then?
I think she was on Cougar Town.
No, well, I stay corrected.
Although I have no idea because I've never seen Cougar Town.
Did you hear about what happened when she was on Cougar Town?
I heard she washed her hair in Evian water.
That's Shannon Doherty.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that a rumor or gossip?
I don't know.
I guess that would be rumor because we don't know Shannon Doherty.
True. And then there are some other stipulations that researchers point out for gossip that I also take issue with some of these. The conversation takes place in private, usually the case.
Yeah, if not like actual private.
Depends on what private means.
Everybody's got their shoulders turned. There's like a creation of a private situation.
Yeah, I gotcha. People are saying it as if it were fact, even though it's not confirmed. That's definitely true.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily the case. I take issue with that one. It's kind of like you were saying, like, I heard.
All true.
But I haven't checked it out. So take it with a grain of salt, but get this.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I even ended it with a vocal fry.
we already talked about that, knowing each other. And then the body language and tone suggests a moral judgment. That's a big one. You know? Like when people use this tone.
But again, that's malicious gossip, typically. There's such a thing. So this is, it should be said, and Tracy doesn't really say it in this. I think she was drinking while she was writing this one. That's what I heard. She didn't lay out that there's really two types of gossip. One is malicious gossip. That's the type of gossip people think about when they hear the word gossip. But the other type, the far more prevalent type is, regular gossip.
Yeah. Wasn't there some weird unsubstantiated stat here that 5% was malicious among most gossip?
Yeah.
How in the world did they pull that out of their keister?
That's a great question.
And who is they?
So they are linguists, historians, anthropologists, psychologists, people who started studying gossip for a very long time. Everyone's aware of gossip, but they're like, it's just noise. It's not to be studied.
It's not worth our time.
It's to be ignored. And as a matter of fact, there's this really great article in The Atlantic that talked about gossip and how it was viewed. And specifically, there was this thing in 16th and 17th century England.
They didn't like it.
Called a scold's bridle. And if you want to see what a scold's bridle is, you should check that out online because there are actual such things. But they're basically iron masks with like points sticking into the woman who was accused of gossip's mouth.
Usually a woman.
Uh-huh. And she would just have to wear that and be publicly humiliated. A lot of them had like a leash leading from them. So I guess the gossip or the scold is what they used to call them could be paraded around town, right?
Yeah, and I also get the feeling that a lot of women were probably made to wear those who just talk too much.
Yeah, I have the same impression as
because of the time period, of course.
So That's how people typically viewed gossip. It was something to be stamped out. It was something that was very undesirable, and academia treated it the same way. Yeah. Then World War II came around, and I think the government saw that there was some real harm that could be done with gossip, with rumors, and they wanted to start to understand that. So that kind of led to the basis of academia investigating what gossip was, what rumors are.
Yeah.
And then over time, organizations got in on the act because there came this idea that if the rumor mill or the gossip mill in your office was really going overtime,
yeah,
you needed to stamp that out.
True.
They've found the opposite is actually true.
Yeah, they found it can do a lot in a workplace to keep people in line, either by scaring them in line or what it seems like a lot of gossip does in that kind of environment is it establishes like the norms and the cultures expected
right
out of the bosses.
That's like one low level. That's like low level background gossip.
Yeah.
If it's peaking and really working overtime,
yeah.
You, from what I understand, you're not supposed to attack the gossips. What you're supposed to do is be more transparent at the top, and then people don't have reason to gossip.
Right.
So it's not, it doesn't mean that you have a lot of gossips at your place. That's a normal human situation, as we'll see.
Yeah.
It means that your managers and the people who are running the show aren't being open enough for the hoi polloi's tastes.
Right.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Good point.
And that was a big thing that came out of studying it. But to answer your question, I'm about to finish.
Yeah.
They study it by eavesdropping on, like, people who are talking in cafeterias.
That's the only way you can.
Yeah, because it's so spontaneous and it's largely unconscious.
Yeah, unless it's, you know, just some dumb poll where you're asking people about gossip and self-reporting polls like that. I don't put a lot of stock in, you know?
Well, actually, they're funny to look at. There's one that found that we spend about 3/4 of our time gossiping, apparently.
Yeah, and that's in the broadest sense of the definition.
Right, right. Not necessarily malicious.
Yeah.
Because about 5% of that supposedly is malicious. But people self-report gossiping about, they say they spend about 30% of their time. So rather than 75%, people are like, oh, I only gossip like 30%.
Yeah.
And all that comes from eavesdropping on people and then asking them afterwards whether they gossip.
Tracy points out, rightfully so, that most world religions have always said gossip is a bad thing. Including the Christian Bible. In Leviticus, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people.
Ooh, that was good. By the way, I want to echo the kudos that have rung throughout social media,
yeah,
applauding your scary spider-growing redneck man in the Halloween episode.
It was Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel, sort of, and my friend Big John.
Well, it was good.
It was a mashup. I appreciate that.
Was Big John in New York?
No, he's in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
I actually thought your vomit take was the funniest part of the whole thing.
The gag?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jewish Torah always also says so. In Buddhism, we've talked about Buddhism before, the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment. No place for gossip there, my friend.
No way. Not if you want to become one with the universe.
No.
No gossiping. And like I said earlier, too, it's not just the religious types that are against it. People in, remember, the business world kind of started looking in on this, and they're like, don't gossip. If you want to be a good person, don't gossip.
Unless you're spreading a gossip rumor that we want you to spread.
Right, that's the official company
right.
line.
And then there's this dude, Robin Dunbar, who wrote a book called Grooming Gossip and the Evolution of Language. And I looked into this guy. He really goes for it. He says that gossip is the whole reason that we have language. And it evolved from primates grooming each other. And that took so much time to groom one another. And it wasn't efficient that language was created in order to not have to groom one another. And so you would vocal groom,
right,
is what he called it.
So this is kind of a big deal. Let's take a break for a second because we're pretty deep into this. And we'll talk about Dunbar and his mad ideas after this. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get.
I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long. But Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. You start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
All right, Dunbar.
Dunbar. Can't put him off any longer. Robin Dunbar.
Yeah, that's a pretty out there theory, I think.
Like, Dunbar is saying, we developed language so we could gossip, in essence.
Yeah, the tie to grooming is where he loses me a bit. And vocal grooming. He says basically it was a more efficient way to service your allies rather than grooming one another.
Right. So I think what he's saying is, that when a primate grooms another primate, it's an act of kindness.
Yeah.
It's saying, like, I'm doing something nice for you. It gives the other primate who's being groomed an opportunity to reciprocate and form an even stronger bond, right?
Can you scratch my back?
But it takes a little while to do all this stuff because you're actually going through the act of grooming.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just gossip about somebody, you can do a lot of that same stuff, but just by talking.
Yeah, but I don't get what it has to do with picking nits out of fur.
I think what he's saying is it developed out of that.
Okay.
It serves a lot of the same purposes. Plus also, it's entirely possible that gossip began around the time, or I guess during grooming sessions. Think about it. If you're just sitting there picking nits out of somebody, are you just going to sit there silently, not chat?
Yeah, sure.
Start chatting. How easy is it going to be to lead to Tuck Tuck and what he did after he ate that fermented apple?
Sure. It's like the barbershop or the beauty shop.
Right, kind of.
There are some different roles, though, that it does play in social interactions where I guess the grooming thing comes into play. Entertaining one another, like you said, influence on one another. That's a big one. Exchanging information, that's important. And one of the biggest ones is learning from mistakes that linguists point out is a really big part of gossip, or a part of positive gossip, in that there's oftentimes a moral lesson attached to it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want this to happen to you.
Right, no, exactly. And it kind of, in that respect, it gets across somebody who's perhaps a little more established in a group, maybe an older person.
Like, ingratiate yourself.
Right. But it's also saying, like, I'm a part of this group. You're a little newer than I am. Let me tell you the story about what this guy did when he transgressed against the group.
Yeah.
And bad things befell him. Like you said, don't let this happen to you. Don't transgress the group's boundaries.
Right. And that's important if you're like a new hire. They say a lot of gossip flies. Like, I remember the movie Big. Remember when Tom Hanks gets hired, like the very first thing that happens is John Lovitz comes over and starts talking about all the gossip of everyone in the office.
I don't remember that part.
Oh, yeah. He talks about, like, this lady's easy and this guy's a jerk. Uh-huh. And it's just pretty common, I think, when you get a new job. There's always someone in there that's like, and what they're doing, though, is they're not just, it's not purely they're trying to help themselves.
It's socialization. It's indoctrination. Oh, that is not what I thought you were going
to
say.
No, like, I think they're trying to be like, well, here's a new ally I can get.
Right, yeah.
So let me, you know. I mean, it's reciprocal, I guess, to a certain degree.
Yeah, both people are getting something out of it. But,
yeah.
I mean, you make a good point. The person who is doing the gossiping, especially in that situation, is setting themselves up as a wise, older, sager advisor.
Like, I know this place. You come
right.
to me
yeah.
if you want some information.
What you'll find, though, over the years is that usually the first person who comes up and starts gossiping to you about how the office works is usually also the most disliked.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. That's why they cast John Lovitz.
Yeah, he's great for that. That or the dude with the forehead the size of a dinner plate who was in all the 80s movies as that same character.
Was he the jerk in Big?
I don't know.
Is it the dad from Home Alone?
No. This is the coked up sidekick from the 80s with the huge forehead. He was in Mad About You. He was the sidekick in Mad About You.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same function.
Yeah, he's in that show now with Joey Tribbiani. What's it called?
Joey?
No.
Melissa and Joey?
No, he's on a different...
Oh, episodes.
Yeah, yeah, he's on episodes too.
Okay.
Great show.
Does he play himself?
No, he plays a jerk TV executive.
Perfect.
Exactly. I love that guy. He's such a good actor.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But he always plays that part.
He's definitely, he's got that part down.
You're right. He's not a romantic lead. A lot of times the feeling of superiority is another big part of gossip.
Yeah.
Like, I would never do this.
Right.
And Tracy also points out the old Schadenfreude, which is one of my favorite words.
It's a good word.
And one of my least favorite things.
You must be very ambivalent about that word.
What do you mean?
Well, if you love it, but you also hate what it means,
well,
it's got to tear you up inside.
I just don't like someone delighting in someone else's misfortune, unless it's a bad person.
Yeah.
Like if the Jimmy John's guy, like, shot his toe off on a big game hunt.
He's a big game hunter.
I would probably think that was kind of, just dessert.
I think that's acceptable Schadenfreude.
Okay.
Especially if it was just a relatively minor injury, you know?
You go Schaden?
Yeah, you say Schaden. Schadenfreude. That's how I say it. So Chuck, kind of what a couple of, like we're kind of dancing back and forth across this line, like going to the office, setting up the first day and having somebody come over and tell you how the things work. Yes, there might be a little bit of malicious gossip in there, but for the most part, that's not bad gossip. That's neutral gossip, right?
Yes.
But putting someone else down or talking about how much superior you are by not you would never do what they did, that's definitely the malicious variety. And there's an idea that if gossip evolved like Robin...
Leach?
Yeah, like Robin Leach says in his post rich and famous career, he became an anthropologist, you know. Robin Leach says that if language evolved as a means of gossiping, the guy takes it further by saying the reason gossip evolved, the reason we needed that in the first place, was because we grew out of these little hunter-gatherer bands of like 15 people.
Yeah.
And as our societies grew larger and larger, we weren't as able to be able to keep tabs personally on others in this group that's getting bigger and bigger. So you don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to leave my crops to somebody while I go on a walkabout or something, I need to make sure that all my crops are going to be there when I get back, you know? But I don't really know this guy. Gossiping serves that function. It's like a stand-in for being able to keep tabs on everybody else in the society, because when you gossip with somebody, you're sharing a trust, a bond, that they're not going to use that information against you that you shared with them.
That's right.
And so there's a definite element of trust to it. And when people gossip in a larger society, they're trusting that the person is either vouching for the person or they're being warned against trusting that third party, right?
Right.
So it works in that same way, that it's like it's a means of keeping tabs on everybody at the same time. On the other hand, or at the same time, it's also a means of social control.
Yeah.
Because if you know people are gossiping about everybody else, then surely they're going to gossip about you too, which means you better just be an upstanding, upright person.
Yeah, there was this what's his first name? Feinberg? Let's just say Dr. Feinberg.
Dr. Feinberg.
At Toronto, in Toronto, University of Toronto. He's done some studies, and he did find, in fact, that basically they did these studies where they were, where you were allowed to exclude non-cooperators in like a group work setting.
Right.
And they found that you sit them out for one game, like you've not been playing nicely, so you go sit over there in the corner. And when they came back, they were more likely to behave in other rounds. And if they knew that their behavior was gossiped about, people, sort of like what you're talking about with the staring. Like if you knew mm-hmm. someone was watching you, mm-hmm. you would return the grocery cart. If you know someone's gossiping about you, you're going to toe that line and get your act together.
Exactly. It's a means of social control. You know who were really, really, really good at gossiping? The Puritans in colonial America.
Oh, I bet.
They were huge. Like, their whole society operated on gossip and
yeah.
the encouragement of gossip.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, I think women were called gossips. And not necessarily negatively. It's just
yeah.
like, that was a really good means of social control. Not only was God watching you,
yeah.
your neighbors were too, and they would go tell the preacher who would put a scold's bridle on you, and maybe them too for telling.
And toss you in the lake.
Yeah. And if you drowned, you weren't a witch.
Right. All right. Well, let's take another break and we'll talk a little bit more about some studies and some other theories about the origins of gossip.
All right. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody, if you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
So Feinberg, we talked about the doctor.
Dr. Feinberg?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
I hope he or she is a doctor. But if not, we just gave him an honorary
sure.
doctorate.
Honorary doctorate from Stuff You Should Know You.
People are going to request those now, which is great.
Well, we can sell them.
So one thing that he found is that gossip can also relieve you physiologically. Like if you know that you're allowed to gossip, you won't get as upset about unfair things
mm-hmm.
than if you had to hold it all in.
It's like a way of setting injustice right.
Yeah.
You know?
It's street justice.
Right.
Cubicle Except justice.
Without like a sawed-off shotgun, as Charles Bronson would dispense it, right?
Yeah. Good point.
Man, have you gone back and seen Death Wish recently? That is a rough movie.
Yeah, of course.
Same with Death Wish 2.
What did you think it was?
I mean, I remember seeing movies when I was a kid and just being like, you know, as a, growing up, you're like, this is nothing.
Yeah.
That was something. Those movies were very violent and very disturbing.
You see, Charles Bronson did not ask questions.
No, he just shot everybody.
He did.
Man, that was crazy.
Why'd you go back and rewatch Death Wish?
Gotta watch something.
Good point.
It was on. That's why.
Gotcha.
I was like, I haven't seen Death Wish in forever. When's the last time you saw it?
Oh, it's been a while.
It's disturbing.
Yeah?
Especially as an adult.
You know what movie I love? Charles Bronson movie I love is...
The Mechanic?
Well, that one's good, too.
Yeah.
What's it called? 10 Past Midnight? Is that right?
I think that's on Netflix, too, maybe.
There was some creepy serial killer.
Yeah.
Like, psychosexual killer that he was... He's always hunting somebody. He was the Liam Neeson of his day.
So that was like supposedly a very, very underrated horror thriller.
Yeah.
Like horror slasher thriller.
I'm with you all the way.
I haven't seen it. It's good though.
It's good.
I'll check it out.
Very creepy. And I learned, well, it's not for kids because I learned some things in that movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those I can specifically remember. It's like, oh, well, that's how I know what this is.
Right. Charles Bronson will teach you all about life, whether you want to learn it or not.
I think it was 10 past midnight. All right. Sorry about that sidetrack. Where were we?
We were talking about the origins of gossip.
Oh, yeah. Did you read the other article I sent? I think it was from The Guardian. I can't remember. Where one of the theories is that...
Oh, it was BBC.
Oh, it was a BBC. Hunting and gathering and foraging was a big reason gossiping came about, because you had to know... You had to talk about each other, like, you know, Tuk-Tuk, you know, is not very good at the hunting, but he's quite the gatherer. So it helps them organize in the most efficient way to get things done.
Right.
Because how else are you going to know unless you tell somebody what's going on?
Right.
So that makes sense.
No, it is. And again, if this person, if the band is large enough or the civilization is large enough that the person can't keep an eye on Tuk-Tuk all the time, that's how that person will gain understanding of Tuk-Tuk's abilities.
Poor Tuk-Tuk.
Keeping tabs on poor Tuk-Tuk.
And then the other cool thing I thought was when we finally learned to harness fire, this hypothesis is during the day, we were out, you know, trying to stay alive and doing our thing, building shelters, hunting for food, finding water.
Yeah.
And at night, when we finally got fire, well, before fire, you would just go to sleep and rest because it was dark. And it's weird to sit around in the dark. But once they had fire, people literally from the very beginning started sitting around and talking about their day.
Right.
And kind of gossiping about what happened.
Right.
And it's amazing.
It's hard to blame anybody. If you think about it, like, when's the last time you had a legitimately interesting conversation about fantastical stuff? They're few and far between. For the most part, people are talking about their day. They're talking about people they work with.
Right.
They're talking about some dude that cut them off in traffic. They're talking about their immediate experience. So, of course, you're going to gossip. It's this, if the definition of gossip is talking about people who aren't there, you're right. Everyone gossips. You're going to. It's a completely natural thing. And I'm totally unsurprised by the idea that it started out at the first campfire. Sure,
well,
it did, of course.
And it still happens today, apparently. There are researchers who studied Bushmen in the Kalahari Desert in Botswana, and they say that the language and the stories and the things they say during the day are completely different than the things they say at night around the campfire. And they say there's really no reason to think this hasn't always been the case.
Huh, that's neat.
Yeah.
So you said it still goes on today, and we were talking about modern studies of gossiping, right?
Yes.
There was like a series of studies. I don't know if they were all from the U of Tirana or not, but they seemed to be somewhat related, where it was, outside observers could watch people playing games and they noticed cheaters. So they had this information about cheaters that the people playing the games didn't have about the cheaters.
Right.
And when they were given the chance to let the players know about a cheater, to send them, I think, like a gossip note is what they called it. most people would take them up on the offer and would send a note of warning to the person that they were playing somebody who was cheating.
Yeah.
And they, like you said, they went from being really upset and up in arms to that release valve being undone and everything was fine with the world again because that person had been alerted to cheating through gossiping. So there is such thing as altruistic gossiping as well.
Yeah. With altruism, Tracy had another example of, Let's say there's like a choral group and the self-appointed leader is really kind of lazy. And if someone, then other people are kind of making up the slack, doing the duties that he or she should be doing. So when new comes in the group and they say, hey, listen, this girl, Jane, is the head of the choral group, mm-hmm. but you should know, don't count on Jane to bring the sheet music for you because she never does it.
Right.
So that's sort of altruistic in that you're helping someone learn the rules of your new group, but you're also kind of talking smack and making yourself superior to Jane.
Right. And then, so Tracy added this one other thing that some people would say that the person who's doing that is really, like you said, just talking smack and isn't really working toward a solution to the actual problem, which is Jane being slack at her job, right?
Right.
And I wonder, like, that's a really good descriptor of what gossip is. Like, gossip would be talk that's not directed toward any kind of solution. It's just talking.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you take that same conversation to somebody who can fire Jane or make her do her job,
right.
No one would consider that gossip.
Yeah, good
because
point.
It's directed toward a goal, toward the solution. So I guess, and that's probably one thing that people don't like about gossip. It's really, in a lot of ways, it's just blowing off steam. It's not really serving any direct purpose. They all seem to be indirect.
Yeah.
Like socializing people. I did. Now I need an honorary doctorate from somewhere.
Oh, you've got one.
And then lastly, Chuck, one of the other things, especially from malicious bond, gossip, is that when somebody, it's a very dangerous game, right? When you're gossiping with somebody, especially with somebody that you're not super tight with, you run the risk of scaring that person.
Right.
Because if there's one thing that people do when they hear gossip, it's they take themselves and put themselves in that situation.
Right.
And one of the things that you will immediately think when you're being gossiped to is, well, this person gossips, so they could very easily be gossiping about me.
Right.
How much should I trust this person?
Yeah.
And that's especially pertinent when it's not already like a tight pair and when the gossip is malicious, you know?
Good point.
Yeah. Well, it's not mine. I'm just relating facts.
You ever watch that Gossip Girl show?
No. But there's a Twitter handle, Gossip Girl, I noticed in my research.
I'm sure and that's it's like for the
real,
show, right?
No, it's like real gossip.
Oh, really? Yeah. I never seen it either.
But it's not real gossip because it's all celebrity gossip.
Right. I think that's not a kid's show. It's a show for younger people than me.
Sure.
It's not for middle-aged men, although I do like it, Blake Lively.
So, well, that was one other thing, too.
Like, yeah.
We haven't come out and said this. There's a definite perception that gossip is much more prevalent among women.
Sure, but that's not true.
No. Research shows that men and women basically across the board equally gossip.
It's old white men.
Yeah. It's old white men.
Old white men under attack in America. News at 11.
You guys did it again. You got anything else?
No, sir.
You're being trolly. You know that?
Yeah, I know.
If you want to know more about gossip, you can type that word in the search bar at howstuffworks.com, and it will bring up this article, complete with totally superfluous illustrations that will baffle the mind.
True. And
did you see them?
Yeah.
It's just weird. I kept looking, like, did I miss a story or something that relates to that? No.
It became a game. Like, find the meaning.
Yeah. And I think I said search bar, and I think I said How Stuff Works, but either way, it's time for Listener Mail.
I'm going to call this Disney Ban. Hello, Chuck, Josh, and Jerry, and Neil.
Really?
Wasn't Neil the chair?
No, Frank was the chair. I think he means Noel.
Yeah, probably so.
Which is hilarious. Neil.
I've been listening for a few months now. Binging episodes like, I can't say what she says. I just listened to your part one of Fairy Tales and last night on my way to work. The reason I'm writing is about the original Little Mermaid story. When I was growing up, my parents were hardcore Southern Baptists. During my childhood, the Southern Baptist Convention did not like that Disney was friendly toward homosexuals and supported evolution. So they called on all the churches to boycott Disney. Hmm. So my parents, the good Southern Baptists that they were, took everything Disney out of our house. And we weren't allowed to have any Disney clothes or watch the Disney Channel. And, of course, no Disney movies. So when the Disney version of The Little Mermaid came out in 1991, I was in first grade. All my friends watched it and loved it. My mom was at a loss. Luckily, Golden Films released their own version of The Little Mermaid, and my mom bought it. I watched this many times as a child, honestly thinking this is the only version. Didn't learn until a few years later when I saw the original at a friend's house. Boy, I bet she felt like watching The Little Mermaid.
It's in color?
This version I saw followed the original story by Hans Christian Andersen, complete with a terrifying sea witch and the suicide at the end, which was a great movie for a first grader. The Sea Witch starred in my nightmares.
That's about the time that I started smoking cigarettes.
So thanks for all the great sidetracking, as well as the amazing content you provide, and that is from Lindsay.
Well, thanks a lot, Lindsay. Appreciate that. Glad you finally got to see The Little Mermaid.
I like that she thanked us for sidetracking.
Some people do.
Sure.
It's pretty infrequent. People are like, stay on point.
Yeah.
And when they do, I'm like, buddy, you have a long archive to go through.
Yeah.
If that bothers you.
We got a lot of good sidetracks today. And it was 10 past midnight, by the way.
Nice. If you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And Chuck, as always, join us at our home on the web. Chuck.
Yes.
Stuff You Should Know. Chuck.
Yes.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.